Welcome back to the table for the Friday, October 25, 2024 installment of Market Plus. John Roach is with us. John, I was not fair to you at the end of the television show asking you quickly the dollar, all your thoughts. Dollar has rallied 40 ticks, then 60 ticks, then this, and I think I saw a word to describe it this week, hot. What does a high dollar, an expanding dollar mean to us? Is that telling us anything right now?
Well, I mean, you have to flip over to why is the dollar strengthening, and if you notice, the T-bills are strengthening, or the rates on T-bills are going up. Very unusual, the government cuts the short term by 50 basis points, and yet the long term rates are actually moving higher. And so that means it's a better place to put your money because of rates. In addition to the international conflict, I mean, it feels to me that the international conflict is heating up. And I think that's being represented with where do you want to put your money? Where do you want to have your cash? And the United States still is a better place to have your cash than many other countries.
Well, we've seen our stock market, if I would have told you 1980, John Roach, we're going to see a stock market at 40,000, you would have probably laughed me off the stage, right?
That'd have been a high forecast.
It would have been. And now we think we dip below 40, the sky is falling. I mean, there's money there. When does the money return to commodities, or is it already there?
And the money's on the sidelines. I mean, there's plenty of money in the stock market that's on the sidelines. So, and the commodity market, we haven't seen the spec funds, which is really the group that we pay attention to. They haven't really expanded their monies very much. I mean, they had record net short positions in the summer, but at the moment they're very close to being neutral. They're still short, but not big shorts. And so we really don't have the money in the commodity market either. It's, I think, on the sidelines more than any place else.
What draws it back into commodities?
Inflation. The lead-in, we talked about what the commodity index was doing. It's moving higher. I think that's the direction that we're in, and we don't have any economic policies that would suggest that we're not going to inflate some more.
I've heard it's an issue on the campaign trail.
Well, they're talking about it.
They talk about it.
But both parties are not coming up with really a solution to stop it. I mean, there's some hoped for solutions, but nothing that the marketplace can sink its teeth into when you're trying to buy something today.
But we've also seen inflation be a global issue. It's not just a United States thing. It's worse. I mean, is it easy to solve this anywhere?
I don't think there's any easy solutions. The easy solutions have all been tried.
Because what happens if China puts more money? I mean, we were disappointed a couple weeks ago in the commodities when China didn't put money into their economy. And that usually fuels inflation. So maybe that was a good sign for inflation then, what the Chinese didn't do. Is that too crazy of an idea?
Perhaps, what's to me more important is what's China going to do with Taiwan? That's the thing that everybody is really standing on foot to foot with it. And if you remember, it was just a few days or a week ago, you know, that they had a huge demonstration of their power that China did, flying the jets around mm-hmm. Taiwan and so forth. And so, so that's the bigger concern. And that's we don't know what their intentions are. But we suspicion that if they're going to do something, the time frame for them to do it is probably in the short term, not the long term.
Well, that's one geopolitical. I'm going to go backwards here in our questions because that makes me think Paul and Iowa's question is probably what we should talk about first then. Should we be locking in prices for spring fertilizer and fuel, given some of the world instability that you're referring to?
Perhaps. I mean, we had some opportunities. We actually published a fertilizer letter, and we had our people buying fertilizer a while back. And in our last letter that we went out, we talked about finishing up fertilizer purchases. So, yes, as you get some pullback anytime, you need to be accumulating some. And we think the same thing with fuel. We had buy signals on fuel, and we think that accumulating fuel makes good sense. We think that... in an uncertain time, do the things that you know that make sense. And so as you're looking at your situation, go ahead and do those things that look like they make sense. If something doesn't look like it makes sense, wait a little bit. Because who knows, in this environment, things could certainly change. And so people ask about, well, should I sell next year's crop? Should I rush out to? And my response is, would you normally do that? And the normal, no, normally they wouldn't do that. They're doing it out of fear. And it may be justified, but there'll be a lot of time between now and a year from now, you know, to be able to make those decisions. And there'll be two crops that we have to deal with. So what we're saying is, in times like this, you do the things that make sense.
Well, it takes time to develop a weather market when it comes to drought. And Gary in Wisconsin wants to know, most of the U.S. is still very dry. At what point does this become concerning to the market? Or are supplies so large it takes a poor 25 crop before any worries start?
No, we can get worries immediately. I mean, that's part of what allowed the markets to pop up here was worry about the South American weather. And now when those worries diminish a little bit, the market sags back down a little bit. I lost the question, Paul.
That's all right. We're talking about dry. And
The dry in the United States will start to have an impact in February.
But you look at that drought monitor and go back. I think I wrote it a couple of weeks ago where it went from the best we'd had in a decade to we're back to dry everywhere.
We did a webinar this morning, and I put the last 3 years drought maps up, and it's less dry this year than it was last year and the year before in pockets. However, there's a wider spread area that has a beginning of drought situation. It goes across all the major corn growing states.
And part of my thought is how quickly, though, we went into this. Is that of a concern? Because this was seemed, it's literally, we shut the tap off on the 1st of August and didn't get rain. I mean, that's really kind of what it felt like in a lot of the grain belt.
It's a concern to anybody raising crops, but it's not a concern to the market yet.
Okay, fair enough. But Zachary in Iowa wants to know, John, here's the big question. Where's the corn? He goes, seriously, you know, supposedly there was these record amounts still in bins. I'm pretty sure farmers didn't add that much on farm storage.
Well, that's a good question. Was the crop actually smaller? And we'll know more about that in January. And we'll see. That's certainly a possibility. We know beans shrunk for sure because the moisture just disappeared. And so that may be the case. The thing that I think is most important right now is that the whole world is short bought. And we've just seen recently in the last 30 days where they've started to step up their purchases. And I don't think they're going to purchase on a routine basis, you know, on a monthly basis going out because there's too much concern. And the prices are cheap enough. So I think we'll advance a lot of our total export business. Will it get advanced? And we'll be looking at our export business 30 days from now and go, holy cow, look how big that is. And I think that gives us some opportunity for some price advance moving into the fourth quarter.
Okay. So then is there anything I need to do right now then to take advantage of?
I think if a farmer's holding inventory, just hang on if you can. Find a way to hang on to it and at least costs that you can do. Normally, you wouldn't rush out to sell corn or soybeans in October. That's just not, you know, don't do that. And typically, we'll have some better prices with some worry out of South America.
Because we could get, if I'm hearing you, if the fourth quarter, we're getting into December, into January, and all of a sudden we see these ridiculously large sales that have happened. That's likely going to send the market higher, right?
Well, people will extrapolate that on out into the future, and that's liable to be a mistake. Because it's not that we're expecting big expansion in demand. I just think we're going to concentrate it into a relatively short period of time.
So then we're back to what we had earlier this year, where the volatility, where, you know, it used to be you talked about 2 to 3 cents was the big movement. We were at 20 to 30 every hour, it seemed.
Don't expect that.
Okay.
Expect a small back and forth trading range where we get down to the lower side, the buyers are there. You get to the upper side, the farmers are there.
More turtle, less hair. Is that the one?
More turtle, less hair. Ah.
You can use that. That's for free.
I like that.
Maybe I'll use that in the newsletter on Monday. Let's ask one last thing here. Given what you've just said, Mike and I was questioned then. What are we thinking here for soybean pricing and corn pricing targets?
Bear in mind, the United States has big supplies increasing from what they were last year. In the case of beans, the world has that too. So we're dealing with a big supply kind of a market, which means you're going to have to take prices you really don't like, but when they start to work in the budget, you got to be taking them. Take the bigger yields. Hopefully you've got the bigger yields. Multiply it times a smaller price. Make your budget work.
Any last thoughts before we go? Because I always ask all these questions, but I never ask you what's not a question, but you know, what's on your mind?
You caught me completely flat-footed there. Completely flat-footed.
Do you anticipate that this election will impact markets differently than any other, or is it going to be just like most of the other elections?
This one's going to be different from all the others, I think. And there's just lots of difference between the two different parties and in the direction that they want to take the country. And so, yes, I think it and at the moment, Trump is showing as leading, and his economic ideas, I mean, they're completely different from normal. And so it'll be very interesting to see how the market reacts mm-hmm. to this if that happens.
We'll see how it is. When you come back, we'll know how this thing turned out. We'll talk about it from there. John Roach, good to see you again.
Thanks, Paul. Great to be here.
All right. That's John, our senior market analyst. And I have a reminder for you to get signed up for our new free newsletter at markettomarket.org. Next week, we are going to talk about big ideas to help feed the world, and we'll have the commodity market analysis of Arlen Suderman. Thanks for joining us, and have a great week.